Welcome to Life Study of the Bible with Witness Lee, a program provided by Living Stream Ministry and featuring the ministry of Watchman Nee and Witness Lee. Witness Lee, a servant of the Lord for over 7 decades on 5 continents, culminated his ministry with a 21-year, book-by-book exposition of the entire Bible, which he called a life study. And we're delighted to bring you short portions of this spoken ministry on today's broadcast. Now, let's join today's life study.
Revelation 21 tells us clearly that the heaven where God dwells today and the earth upon which we dwell will both pass away, and that a new heaven and a new earth will replace them. What is it that God is waiting for before bringing in the new heaven and new earth of His new creation? Joining us today for a very interesting and important program, Ron Kangas. Ron, welcome back to the broadcast. I'm looking forward to this one.
I also have a sense of anticipation of what is forthcoming in this program and through our fellowship.
Ron, we don't just have John's word in Revelation 21 concerning the passing away of both heaven and earth. Peter confirms this word and elaborates in 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 10. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief, in which the heavens will pass away with a roar, and the elements, burning with intense heat, will be dissolved, and the earth and the works in it will be burned up. Since all things are to be thus dissolved, what kind of persons ought you to be in holy manner of life and godliness? The heavens, being on fire, will be dissolved, and the elements, burning with intense heat, are to be melted away. But according to His promise, we are expecting new heavens and a new earth in which righteousness dwells. Ron, now we have John's word in Revelation. Peter's confirming testimony that the heavens most Christians are expecting to occupy for eternity are going to be burned up, and our eternal destination is something quite different. This is an awesome view, isn't it?
It is an awesome view, and it requires a reconsideration of religious teachings that many have just absorbed and assimilated without much serious prayer or scripture study. Let me make a few comments. We had a program recently on the thousand-year kingdom, the millennial kingdom. That is not yet the new heaven and the new earth. The reason it's not the new heaven and the new earth yet is that God's eternal purpose concerning Christ and the church, which involves the maturing and perfecting of all His believers, has not yet been accomplished fully. It will be during this period of the 1,000 years that God's purpose positively will be accomplished, and at the end of that time, all the believers will be perfected and matured to be part of the corporate person, the wife of the redeeming God, the holy city, New Jerusalem. This holy city, New Jerusalem, is not a literal city, it's not a place, it's a corporate person. Now, this realization that once God's purpose has been fulfilled and the age of the kingdom is over, there will be a new heaven and a new earth, the center of which will be the New Jerusalem as a corporate person, the wife. This is counter to the frankly superstitious notion that when a believer dies, he or she goes to heaven, has some kind of luxurious domicile there to live in, and will be there forever. The New Jerusalem comes down out of heaven to be the center of the new heaven and the new earth. This is the way the Bible ends. This is the consummation of the divine revelation. We owe it to the Lord, and we owe it to ourselves to reread, restudy, and rethink the traditional religious teachings and come back to the pure Word of God and see the sequence. We're in the age of grace to receive eternal salvation with eternal life, to build up the church as the body of Christ, and to prepare the bride. This will be followed by the age of the kingdom, during which the overcomers will reign with Christ on the earth. During the period of 1,000 years, the immature believers will be matured and perfected. Then at the end of the 1,000 years, there will be the final judgment on the devil, on the final rebellion of those who followed him at the end of the kingdom age, the judgment of all the dead unbelievers. Then every negative thing will be cast into the lake of fire. The devil himself, death itself, Hades itself, it will all be gone. Now there's a glorious new heaven and new earth, and at the center, a corporate person, the New Jerusalem, the holy city, the wife of the Lamb. This actually is not where we are going. This is what we are becoming. We present the pure Word of God, and we just encourage our listeners, reread Revelation, reread the pure Word of God, and ask God Himself, Lord, what is this new heaven and new earth? What is this new Jerusalem descending out of heaven to the new earth? What is it? Who is she? How do I become a part of her? These are the questions that serious, seeking Christians ask at this crucial time in history.
Well, as we've been saying, Ron, we're going to see something today that might not quite fit with the common view. Let's join Witness Lee as we begin now to look at the coming new heaven and new earth.
When we read the Bible and come to Revelation chapters 21 and 22, right away, we could have a kind of a sensation that we come to another region. We get into another realm, another sphere. This is right. Why? Because in the last two chapters of the whole Bible, we do have the whole universe renewed. Not only we, the believers in Christ, have been renewed, but also the heaven and the earth, the whole universe will be renewed. I would ask you why it has to be until this time that the new heaven and new earth could come in. Why? This is because God's dealing with His creature has not been completed. So the new heaven and new earth just couldn't come.
Ron, this thought that the new heaven and the new earth cannot come until God has finished dealing with His creatures may be new to many of our listeners. I think it'd be helpful to provide a sketch of how God has dealt with man through the ages. Theologians and historians usually break up God's dealing with man into periods or dispensations, sometimes counted as 7, sometimes as 4. And those 4 are the age of the patriarchs, the age of the law, the age of grace, and the kingdom age. That's the coming 1,000-year millennium. By the time we get to Revelation 21, these dispensations will have all been completed. And then He will bring in the new heaven and new earth. We'll come back to the matter of the completion in the portions ahead. That's really the focus of our program. But for now, maybe you could review these dispensations for us and how God has used them.
We know from Ephesians chapter 3, God has an eternal purpose. In order to fulfill this eternal purpose, God created space-time, created the universe, the earth, and placed humankind on the earth in His image to express Him and as His representative with His authority to deal with the enemy. After the fall, God began to, on the one hand, fulfill His purpose in stages, and on the other hand, to deal with the people on the earth in a particular way in each stage. So during the age of the patriarchs, God had one kind of criterion. Then the law was given through Moses, and the law became the criterion. When Christ came, grace and reality came with him, and he initiated the age of grace, in which we preach the gospel of grace and also the gospel of the kingdom to produce the believers for the building up of the church. However, when the Lord returns, the age will change. It will become an age of righteousness, and the Lord will deal with the dwellers on the earth in that age according to his righteousness and according to the requirements of the reigning Christ and his co-kings on the earth. Always, during any particular age or dispensation, there is God's dealing, so there will need to be a final test toward the end of the millennial kingdom. That is when the devil will be released from the abyss. He will deceive so many on the earth. There will be the last battle as he tries to attack the holy city, Jerusalem. Then the final end comes. Everyone and everything is judged. Every negative thing is cast into the lake of fire. And also, by that time, all the believers from all the ages who went to the Lord, not mature, not being wise virgins with oil in their vessel, that is, having the Spirit saturate their souls, all the believers will be matured and perfected. That is when the New Jerusalem, the wife of the redeeming God, will be manifested in full. When she is ready, there needs to be a new environment to contain such a glorious corporate expression of God. That will be the new heaven and the new earth. We are at the very end of this age of grace. We need to seek the Lord earnestly, because soon he will change his way of dealing with people. We want to be the overcomers, the first fruits, who will be rewarded with the kingdom, who will have the blessing of being the bride of Christ during the 1,000 years, who will receive the invitation to be with him in the wedding feast. We long to be there. We want to spend 1,000 years in this state, not to spend that period of time making up for what we failed to achieve by the Lord's life in this present age. We don't care to argue the so-called school or teaching of dispensations. We're simply talking about periods of time in which God has a specific purpose accomplished in a certain way, and during which he judges people and deals with them according to a certain criterion. This is the basic point we're trying to make. So we go from the age of the patriarchs to the age of the law, to the age of grace, to the age of the kingdom. When the age of the kingdom ends, we are now in eternity. New heaven, new earth, new Jerusalem, the consummation of God's eternal purpose.
Well, let's go back to Witness Lee now. In this section, we want to begin to see how God will use all the negative things in our life for our perfecting, to prepare us as his people for eternity.
We, the Christians, should be completed in this dispensation of grace, yet many, many of the Christians wouldn't let God do it. You see the point? So our Lord will be forced to also postpone the completion of the perfection of the New Testament saints into the next dispensation. Now, after the absolute perfection and completion of God's people in 3 sections, hallelujah, I tell you, the use of the old heaven and old earth will be over. God used Satan, and God used Antichrist. God used the false prophet, and God used weakness, physical weakness, and God used physical sickness, and God used all those disobedient children that we may be perfected. After God will perfect us, the divine perfection and completion will be fully accomplished. Then God would say, I don't need you, Satan. You go to the trash can. Sickness, I don't need you. Sorrows, I don't need you. Tears, I don't need you. All the negative things, all the old things are just my little instrument to perfect my people. Now, as I have perfected my people, my perfection of my people has been fully completed, so I don't need all the things. I put all of you into the trash can.
Ron, listening to this section, I thought of Romans 8:28, a verse we know. All things work together for good to those who love God and to those who are called according to his purpose. The literal meaning of this verse, I believe, is that God causes all things to work together for good. This is a view that we all need reminding of because we are so often bothered, frustrated, even discouraged by the troubling things in our lives. And often our prayers are dominated by requests that the Lord will take them away. But actually, God uses these things. And even in a way, he needs these things to accomplish his purpose of completing, perfecting, and maturing us, doesn't he?
He does. And let's point out what's obvious in the verse. All things work together for good to those who love God, who recognize God as the sovereign God. Also, the same category, those who are called according to his purpose. So if our dear listeners are those who love God and who know what God's eternal purpose is and realize they've been called according to God's purpose, they may have the full assurance that God will cause all things to work together for good. And that good mentioned in verse 28 is defined in the following verse, which tells us that we have been predestinated to be conformed to the image of God's Son. That's the firstborn Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brothers. So clearly, God's purpose in verse 28 is to have the many brothers of Christ in verse 29, who are the many sons of God mentioned in Hebrews 2. And these brothers and sons are the components of the eternal bride, wife of the redeeming God, the New Jerusalem. Yes, all things are working together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to his purpose. So if we really want to apply this verse, let's apply it thoroughly, let's apply it carefully, and let us seek God's mercy that he would number us among those who love God and who live on earth now according to and for his eternal purpose.
Ron, I think this is probably a revolutionary thought to a lot of people, that God even uses Satan, along with all the negative things that we usually associate with him, to accomplish this goal of completion, perfection, and maturation of his people. But then, when he has need of these things no longer, he just discards them.
This is exactly the case in the book of Job. Satan was used to accomplish something that had to be done in Job that God would never do. It would be contrary to his nature. In Luke, the Lord told the disciples that Satan has desired to have them all to sift them like wheat. But the Lord prayed for them that their faith would not fail. So here, the Lord recognizes that Satan will accomplish something seemingly against God, but actually to advance God's purpose because it will help to perfect and mature the believers. So God, in his wisdom, uses even the devil to accomplish what needs to be done to mature and perfect his believers on the earth. Once this has been accomplished, then God in Christ, with the matured and perfected believers, will judge the very devil who has been harassing and tormenting them. This is part of the unsearchable, multifarious wisdom of God. Everything is under his sovereignty. He will clear up everything. And once he has accomplished his purpose, acting directly, acting indirectly through the environment, even using the enemy to perfect God's own people to bring them to maturity, then the righteous God will vindicate himself, will manifest his righteousness and holiness, and every negative thing, the Antichrist, the false prophet, the devil, the evil spirits, all the ungodly, every negative thing will be cast into the lake of fire. This universe will be thoroughly cleared up on the negative side, and God's eternal purpose will be absolutely fulfilled and consummated on the positive side. This is the message of Revelation, and this is the burden of this particular radio program.
Ron, we had the testimony from the Apostle John in Revelation 21 and from the Apostle Peter in 2 Peter 3. Now we want to add to that the Apostle Paul's word in Hebrews chapter 1. The heavens will perish, but you remain perpetually, and they all will become old like a garment, and like a mantle you will roll them up like a garment. They will also be changed, but you are the same, and your years will not fail. Here's Witness Lee once again for our final portion.
The day will come. This old heaven and this old earth will be rolled away and burned up. By that time, the whole universe will be a new creation. Not only we, the people of God born again, will be the new creation. Even the heavens, the earth, everything in this universe will be a part of the new creation. Under God's enlightenment, we have to realize there's no way for God to accomplish anything, to go on with anything, but to perfect us in life. If we would not allow him to do this, he will be patient. He will wait till next dispensation. It is no joke. You and I, we all need to give the Lord full liberty to perfect us while we are still breathing on this earth. It is not just the forgiveness of sins. It is not just the regeneration. No. It is what? It is the matter of perfection. Right? The matter of completion. The matter of maturity. We all need to be perfected, completed, and matured. In any kind of circumstances, don't blame anyone. Don't blame anything. You just say, Lord, thank you for these kind of circumstances. Because this is your instrument. This is your servant. This is your way to perfect me.
Ron, I think what we've heard in this section, in the whole program today, is sobering. Redemption, forgiveness, even regeneration, all, of course, extremely important, but none of them is the goal of God's work. The goal is this completing, maturing, perfecting in life. But in order to accomplish this, he not only needs, but is waiting for our cooperation. And if he doesn't get it in this age of grace, he will wait and pick it up again in the coming age. If we really have a heart for him, we really should not wait, should we?
If we have the heart, we will not wait. If we are graced with wisdom and prudence, we will not wait. We shouldn't be drugged by the shallow and actually erroneous teaching that all believers, no matter their condition, will never have to go through any dealings. Once they die, all problems are solved. Once they're raptured, all problems are solved. This is an seriously inaccurate teaching, and those who take it in and swallow it and are influenced by it are going to waste years, if not decades, perhaps even the entirety of their Christian life. If we know the truth concerning God's eternal purpose of the kingdom as a reward to the overcomers, we will be sobered, we will be watchful, and we will seek the Lord earnestly that we may redeem the time and we may grow to maturity and be victorious and faithful in this age, so that when we meet the Lord at the judgment seat of Christ, he will recognize that we responded to his operating grace to be matured and perfected and faithful in this age. Therefore, we will enter into the kingdom as a reward in the coming age.
Thank you, Ron, for You're sharing today another very significant life study.
For Ron Kangas Today, I'm Chris Wilde. Thank you very much for listening.